Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, Instagram Live. It's Deborah Frances White, and here I am on The Guilty Feminists, The New Normal, a 6 o'clock daily Instagram show where we talk to a friend of The Guilty Feminist or a Guilty Feminist regular about how they're dealing with quarantine. As always, it's brought to you by Diet Coke. Diet Coke don't know that, but what I'm hoping is that someone will show it to them and they'll give me £10,000 as a joke because I can't make any money at the moment. Can't sell any tickets. To those of you who are supporting us by Patreon, thank you. In the meantime, Diet Coke, £10,000 as a joke. Imagine the free publicity they'd get. Today, my guest is the incredible Jen Brister. Yay! I can hear you all applauding out there. And actually, I can see some of you making applauding emojis. Let's see if Jen Brister is around. There she is, Jen Brister Comedy. I'm asking her. Hello, 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 Jen Brister in 5, 4, 3. It's just like television, this. Connecting. Hey! It's
Here
Jen
I
Brister
am.
With a very new look.
If you want to know how my lockdown's going, I think it's very much wrapped up in this haircut, Deborah.
Is this haircut indicative of your feelings about, let's just shave it all off, let's just get rid of it, reboot, start again? Or is it more just a practicality, hair was growing out of control, you just thought, screw it, can't get a proper haircut, I'm going to go all the way?
A bit of both. I think Chloe, my partner, tried to cut my hair.
Yeah.
It didn't go very well. Not as well as planned. There's something called the fade, which if you have short hair, particularly if you have it quite short, it sort of, you know, it fades in. So it sort of starts a bit longer than it fades. Anyway, that was more of, it just looked like she'd butchered it, basically. Like she she had literally got a pair of clippers, which she had. And I just had like lumps in the back of my head. And I was like, that can't happen. But then she did the front and it looked okay. But then I kind of felt a little bit, I've been feeling a little bit batshit. And so I just said,
clinically batshit?
Possibly borderline, Deborah. Possibly
borderline clinically batshit. And I'm sure that's an inclusive term.
Is that something that we can say?
Well, it's too late now. You've said it live streaming.
Not to undermine anyone with actual severe mental health problems, but I have been feeling quite not quite myself. And so,
I think we've all been feeling that. Oh my God.
Yeah.
If anybody doesn't relate to a certain amount of batshittery at the moment, I don't know what they're doing, because it's getting to that point where we've just not lived through this before. We've all taken a few weeks out at some point in our life, but now it's getting into this beyond and no choice and only legal to leave the house once a day. Very odd space.
It's a really odd space to be in. I have I have good days, and I have had more recently quite a few bad days in a row. And I don't know what it is. I find it really hard. It's like that. I'm like, I've got to be thankful for, you know, I'm trying to be all of those grateful for the positives I have, because I am in a very fortunate position. You know, I have food in the cupboard. I have, you know, some savings. I'm not you know, there are people who are going through, you know, really struggling. So it's all about perspective. But I do feel at times that perspective has disappeared. And I think you'll be able to relate to this, that with our jobs, we can, if we choose, have quite a lot of time on our own. You know, like as performers, we can, and sometimes it's enforced time. And now I have actually no time alone, and it's
because quite... you've got children, and they don't go away when you ask them to.
These people don't leave.
How old are your boys?
They're 5. They're just around.
It's quite, you know, and it's not an active age, isn't it? It's not as bad as 3, but it is quite bad. I mean, not bad. It's good, good. Just somebody here called Bosslog66 says, we are in Italy and we have done 7 weeks. Can I ask, 7 weeks, and people are waving from Spain as well, what's it like in the future? Hola. There? What will our heads be like at 7 weeks? Could you please explain? Because I want to know, like, if you've got, you know, if people have got children and they've been 7 weeks trapped inside indoors with the children, it's not an image I can really put inside Jen Brister's head now.
Don't put it on the side of my head, but also very different in Spain and Italy. A lot of people are in flats, don't have gardens. And also children, unlike here, we can take them out and just
Hello.
Move them around. We're,
this is a flat. I don't have a garden. I've got a little terrace.
It's tricky if you don't have a garden anyway. But if you have 2 5-year-olds and you don't have a garden, then you're completely screwed. But particularly in Spain, this is because
children have not been allowed out in Spain. Oh, my God.
No. That's exactly right. So children are not allowed out at all. It's only, I think, children that have, I guess, additional needs, and they are allowed to go out. One child to one adult, one carer or parent, and they're allowed to go out, and they have a special card or something that they take out with them, I believe.
Oh, my God.
So I spoke to my aunt last week, who lives in Spain. Obviously, she's Spanish. And our lockdown is a breeze. They're like,
really?
She's not allowed out of the house. They're not allowed out. Like, we can go out. I mean, people are going out and, you know, hobnobbing around. I went for a cycle ride by the beach this morning quite early, because, like, I had to go and there's no one around, and there were just people just standing around chatting with friends. And I was like, I don't think we've really grasped, I don't think in this country we've really grasped it, that the urgency of why it's so important to do this.
My concern about that, Jen, is that I read an article saying if we're doing it and we're cheating, we might as well not be doing it. So we're getting all the downside of nobody being able to go to work, all the economic downside, but we are still spreading the virus. Now, it can't be at the same rate. If you go for a bike ride and you bump into someone, that can't be at the same rate than if you were going to go into 6 comedy clubs this week. But it's still spreading the virus faster than we should be in order to flatten the curve. And so people are saying it's just going to make it worse. We've got to take it more seriously.
I think we've got to take it more seriously. And I think, it's been proven what happens if you don't take, if we don't take it seriously, and we don't take action quickly enough. But anyway, look, it's we've got the government that we've got. British people are a different kettle of fish, let's be honest, in every conceivable way. And I think, you know, we will learn, as we always do, the hard way, because that's how we like to rock it in this country.
In a very real way, though, Jen, we're not America, where people are actually out rioting, saying, give me liberty or give me death. And that's really not the choice. It's give you liberty or give loads of other people death. Give the healthcare system death. Give the doctors death. Give the nurses death. That's what you're saying. And there's been really, you know, sort of libertarians out with signs saying, my body, my choice, and co-opting the abortion slogan, with a picture of a mask on saying Trump 2020. And it's like, that is really terrifying.
I think the illusion of, I think the lie about freedom and the lie, you know, neoliberalism and libertarianism is it's a lie that you can have freedom, and that freedom is more important than collectivism, because the freedom of the individual is only the freedom for 2% of the population to make shitloads of money and for everyone else to be under the cosh. So it is a complete lie, but that's what they believe. That's what a lot of American people believe that the country is based on, is all about liberty and freedom. And we heard Boris Johnson talk about that before, didn't we? About liberty and about infringing on our civil liberties. And they were really surprised that when the government introduced all of the I guess the lockdown and all of those restrictions, they thought British people would go on a riot, but everyone's like, oh yeah, that makes sense, because it does make complete sense, because we've all got somebody in our lives that if we don't think it will kill us, it will kill like one of our parents or our grandparents or somebody we care about, you know, so we're all like, oh god, we don't want that to happen. So you know, thankfully I think most people are a little bit more pragmatic and a bit more common sense, but it's a weird time. It's just a weird time to be alive. And it's a weird time, you know, this is something, this kind of whole Instagram live thing, I feel like I'm doing one of these a day. And I didn't even really know about this shit before.
I know. I don't live on Instagram live before this. We were gigging, Jen. We were out doing our jobs. Our jobs are about collecting people in a room and talking to them. And now we can't do that anymore. So this is what we have now.
But I tell you what, this has made me realise is that my job as a stand-up comedian is utterly surplus to requirements.
Because arts are important. We're going to need to make meaning of this afterwards. At the moment, it is afterwards, fair to say you are sure, not a key worker, Jen Brister.
That is not fair. Very, very much not necessary.
But later, when we're trying to make meaning and story, you will be a key worker again. At the moment, the NHS are getting all the standing ovations, the Thursday night applause. I see that. There's no applause for the Brister right now, but applause is coming back to you.
Holy shit. That's really positioned me in quite a negative way. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
I know exactly what you mean.
Sorry, I'm on about 78 WhatsApp groups and these bastards won't stop WhatsApping. Let me just go on. How do I go on?
Mute them.
That's the other thing. I've got to get off some of these WhatsApp groups. Jesus wept. I'm on about
too many WhatsApp groups. You have to mute. My favourite WhatsApp group at the moment is I created a WhatsApp group of four. It's me and three lesbians who are all sequestered alone. Actually, one of them is bisexual. I shouldn't call her a lesbian. There's three sequestered alone.
Homosexuals.
What are they called? What's the group called now? I think it's called the Lesbian Cancel Cubby. And that's really fun. The only one Deb likes is the Lesbian Cubby. What does that mean? Hello, Ellen's in the cubby. You're in the Lesbian Cancel Cubby. What are you saying? Lesbian Cubby member here. Yes. And I put that together because they didn't know each other, but they obviously all should have known each other. Very similar interests. And not just that, other STEM interests. And that's a brilliant group to be part of because there's only four people. And it's a support group for people in isolation alone who have becoming good friends on that group and didn't know each other before. And I would definitely do that again. And I find it's a very entertaining group. Any WhatsApp group with like people on it, I don't even know. There's so many people I don't even know. You have to mute it because you might suddenly get 50 messages in an hour.
I am in a few of those and I do, and I just have to kind of, I mean, I have muted them. I've muted a couple for a year. I hope, that's the thing with the WhatsApp. Would you like to mute this group for a week or a year?
Always a year.
We're on a year at the moment.
You can still look at it. You just look at it when you want to on your own terms.
I know. It's just that my phone doesn't be like ping every 2 minutes and I think something exciting's happening and it's just someone like explaining that they made some sort of something with a courgette and I'm just like, I don't care. I just really, you know what I mean?
There's a lot of courgette chat on my lesbian support group as well.
But for a very different reason.
Yeah, baby. That's absolutely not true. There's been limited courgette chat. Have you got any new feminist butts that have come out of your time in quarantine? For example, Jen, I'm a feminist butt. I have a new respect for waxers and truly believe that waxers will be key workers after quarantine. They'll be working like 22 hours a day. We'll come out onto the street and we will applaud them.
Do you know what? I wax myself.
What?
And have done since I was 17. Yeah, I wax everything from the neck down.
Can you turn that into an I'm a feminist, but I wax my whole self. But how do you do underneath the old bikini area?
Well, that's a tricky bit, but you can. You just got to cut your leg up and just grit your teeth and just have a, and then just whip it off.
But I don't really do don't feel comfortable. Really, really don't feel comfortable ripping.
Have you gone too far?
No, doing it to myself. I don't feel uncomfortable with the conversation. I feel uncomfortable with the idea of pouring hot wax onto my own genitalia and ripping it off at a funny angle. No.
Right, okay, so I use a strip. But also, what you have to be careful is if you are doing the undercarriage area, really hang on to that flap, because if you let go, then you'll drag a lot. You know, you'll lose a flap, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh my God, so, I'm never doing that. I am just going to let it...
Don't do that.
I'm just going to let it all grow in and, you know, we'll wait... We'll wait till after. We'll wait till after before. I've seen what's happened to your hair. All right? I will not be taking your advice about any hair removal down there. I'm not saying your head, you looked noble. It looks wonderful. It looks noble. But I feel like you started with a certain intent and then it all came off. And I'm a little bit concerned about the old, what Jessica Foster calls the tuppence area.
No, I'm very au fait with the tuppence area, and I can really get to grips with that. My tuppence, somebody else's tuppence, anyone's tuppence is safe in my hands, is what I'm trying to say.
If I were sequestered with you, I would definitely let you do my tuppence.
Yes, but... I would do your tuppence, and you'd be happy with the results.
Well, honestly, let's see. Listen, after this is over, I will take you up on that. I'm not going to have much money at the end of the quarantine for the normal,
well,
you know.
Save my normal, smaller, I'll come round.
I'll definitely pay you for it, but I won't pay the full rate that I pay for my money, Deborah. This is a generous feminist act right here. Are you surprised by anything? I just did an episode of The New Normal on audio with Phoebe Waller-Bridge, and we were talking about how patient Londoners have become and how they'll just queue out the front of a supermarket now without tutting and without checking their, without going, what's the time? Is there anything you've been surprised by your own response or the response of society at large?
I think it's been really nice because people have been like, you know, ourselves included, but there's been lots of notes going around, people sending around messages to say, listen, in our local area to say, and Facebook groups have been set up to say, look, are you alone? Are you, do you need regular prescriptions that need to be picked up? Can I get you some food? Are you hungry? Do you know what I mean? Can I cook you something? I'll drop it off. You know, there's been a lot of that. And that's been very heartwarming because that's continued. And, you know, I'm not saying that we've been in lockdown that long comparatively to other countries because we really haven't, but that sort of sense of community, I'm quite cynical usually, and I've been quite warmed by that. That's been really lovely. And you know, I did think the clapping for the NHS would run its course after a week, but people diligently come out every Thursday at 8 o'clock with their pans and their wooden spoons and their whoops and their cheers. And I think what it has done in a way has been really has been solidifying what we already know about key workers, what most of us, I hope, already know.
Jen, your microphone's just gone a really teeny, so we can barely hear you. It just happened.
So sorry. My internet is absolute dog shit. What can I do to make it better?
That's better. Just coming closer is better, yeah.
I'm just putting my face closer. Has that helped? Nobody wants to see it in my nose.
Becky has said, turns out kindness is contagious too. That's really nice.
Yeah, I think that people, and also that I hope that when this kind of, and this will go on for a very long time, but when this sort of finally we get a vaccine and hopefully things sort of settle down a bit, that we don't forget those people, and that we don't forget the NHS and that we stop underfunding it. That's what I hope, you know.
I think the nurses will be able to come out into the streets after COVID and say, pay us double or we're not going back. And I think every single person in this country would go,
if nurses don't get a pay rise, there'll be a fucking riot, and I'll be at the front of it because it's, you know, 100%. And also, it's made it clear,
and other workers in the NHS who are underpaid, criminally underpaid.
Sure, the porters, the people that deliver your food when you're hungry. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? All the cleaners, everybody.
But even junior doctors aren't paid great. considering the amount of years it takes to get that education. And we've seen, because they can get a viral load, 20% of the deaths from COVID apparently have been medical staff because of the viral load. That's disgraceful. And there's horrible, horrible stories about nurses who, that's tragic story about that pregnant nurse who was in her third trimester.
Gosh, I know that.
And it's beyond, why was a pregnant woman doing that? But they were like, oh, we need all hands on deck. So we said, even if you're pregnant, come in. And she did. And she sacrificed her own life. And I think virtually all the medical staff in this country who've died have been BAME, have been people of color. And it's like, this is the time to recalibrate this and to say, this is enough now. This is absolutely enough. And people are saying other key workers as well. I also feel the teachers are going to get a pay rise as well, because parents know now what it would be like to not have teachers.
Do you know what was a really hack joke, which even I confess I've done as an MC? When you're struggling to find something funny to say in a room, and you ask them what they do, and they say a primary school teacher or something, and you go, hey, what do you do? Just stick bits of toilet roll together and a bit of glue. Mm-hmm. It's not really a job, is it? And oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a job.
It's a job. And not only have we got all the resources, there's loads of things online, there's loads of stuff to help you, but then you've got to shape that into something that your children will listen to, and they won't listen.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely, I think there's parents up and down this country go, just like, we will be like that. When the kids go back to school, oh my God, bottle of champagne for everybody.
Absolutely. Everyone realises what it is now. And okay, they're trained to do it, and parents are not trained to do it, and they've got the facilities. And also children do listen to teachers more than they listen to their parents because of societal conditioning.
Fucking hell. These people have been not listening to me.
Sorry, Jen. Do you have any routine that you can tell us about that you have adopted, because you now stay indoors all the time and your normal routine has been robbed from you? Because funnily enough, Juliet Stevenson said she's become her own primary school teacher. She said, I've got charts on the wall and colour coding, and I have rewards if I do work between these hours, and I give myself detentions if I don't. And I have to say, right, I've got to do another hour now. Have you got any kind of system where you have to be up at a certain time, or you have to get dressed before a Zoom call?
I went fully feral for quite a long time.
Nice.
So I didn't wear trousers that didn't have an elastic waist for a good 6 weeks.
Wow.
And in fairness to me, I was coronaed for a while. So I was out for the count. So I was coronaed for a good 3 weeks. And then it took me... Even now, I get quite a lot of fatigue. So I am up early, because obviously children, I am up early anyway. But I think one of the reasons I've been so low is not, other than having structure, I put all my energy into creating structure for my children and not really for me, that now is the reason why I think I've been feeling quite so batshit, because I have literally done nothing for myself. So I'm not a person that writes lists, but I wrote a list today, and I'm going to try and create a schedule for myself so that I can feel a little bit more normal, and also so that Chloe and I can create a schedule whereby we do a half day each, so we get a couple of hours to ourselves.
That's
so
a great idea.
When I start doing that, I think I'm going to be able to find a little bit of time to reward myself or to do something that I want to do. I'm not even worrying too much about getting work done at the moment, because I think I still feel quite overwhelmed by everything, but I'm going to try and do some things that I think will help me to feel a bit like creative and like I want to write in a couple of weeks. Because at the moment, I don't know about anyone else that writes, what have you, but I got nothing. Nothing. Going on up there.
I've only got writing because I was already in the middle of scripts that are still in development. I haven't sort of started any new projects, because I think it's just too blind. I wouldn't, because it's just too blindsiding. I don't know where the world's going to be. I don't know where I would start right now. I need it to settle into my body more. People are suggesting Fully Feral for a t-shirt. Every day, the merch store, Hannah from the merch store, watches the show and pick something that the guest has said that's funny to make a t-shirt, and then you get the profits from the t-shirt. The merch store isn't taking any profits from them, and they're printed on demand, so there's no waste. So Fully Feral is a candidate, Jen, for something. Would you buy a Fully Feral t-shirt, gang, if the money was going to Jen Brister? We'll wait.
Listen, anyone that goes to me, I will donate to charity anyway.
Oh well, in that case, you can nominate that it goes to another guilty feminist performer who's trying to pay their rent and at the moment struggling.
Do that, then. I would love to do that. Donate it to somebody who's having trouble paying their rent. I would much prefer that.
Somebody suggesting Don't Lose Your Flaps as an alternative merch store stay at home t-shirt. Hannah's got options. Hannah's got options here. Hannah, we leave it in your hands. Jen may yet to say something. She may say something even more t-shirt worthy. We don't know.
There's still time. God.
Have you got any? People are really liking Fully Feral.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do you have any strategies for staying emotionally or mentally stable through this? Have you discovered anything yet that you do that you go, oh, that's really helping, or I couldn't get through the day without that?
Music.
Whether that's music. Interesting.
Yeah. I listen to music every day, and I create, I suppose, the kind of the thing that I did when I was a teenager, where I'd create playlists, you know, like a mixtape.
I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, Jen, just somebody suggested for a t-shirt, your tuppence, any tuppence, is safe in my hands. You did say that. you did say that.
Holy shit.
Any tuppence is safe in my hands. I mean, that's a strong t-shirt contender. Sorry, music, playlists. You've been writing playlists. Are they relevantly themed? I've seen there's a few quarantine playlists on Spotify and, you know, Apple Music and that kind of things. Or are you just going to old music that you love, that you feel connected to?
Both. I'm mining it all. I'm going into Spotify wormholes. Mm. I'm revisiting music from my youth, from the 90s and from the 80s. I'm finding new stuff. I must tell you about this artist who I found, but I can't remember their name. That's very useful, Brister. They are a trans man in their 70s, and he is there is an album that I've been listening to, but there's like, it's, I can't look at it because I can't remember what their name is, and it's going to really annoy me, but but it's kind of like a mixture of gospel. It's almost like a hymn, but it's really joyful. It's really, and it's been really lifting me. And I've there's like about particularly three tracks on this album, which I think are absolutely phenomenal. And
if you make a story of it afterwards, voice. We'll share it. So more people will go and download it.
Yeah, I will. I just, and also the fact that he's in his 70s, and that's when it really took off for him. I just find that fascinating. But also the music's great, and it's been really, really very uplifting. And I've been listening to a lot of soul music, I think, a lot of sort of 70s and 80s soul, because I've been finding that I need something that's going to, like, energize me.
I've been doing personal training on Zoom, and she gets me to put playlists on. She likes 80s. I put a lot of 90s on. And every time Under Pressure comes on, I genuinely believe I can Rocky montage everyone through this. I think at the end of this song, I am going to be so much fitter than I was, and the quarantine will be over, because I, with the strength of will, I will create a montage that gets us to the other side. It hasn't worked yet. And the operative word here is yet, Jim.
There's still time.
I think I can montage us through this.
I totally believe in you.
Yeah. But if for some reason it's Under Pressure that makes me think, yeah, that's the right song.
Is this, how often do you do that? Just out of interest, how often are you doing your workouts?
I am now doing, and do not be, this is for my sanity. And so okay. I feel like I can make meaning of time. I'm doing 2 hours a day. I know. It's for myself. And I am a lethargic person. I'm a sedentary, lethargic person who used to go to yoga. I'd really liked going to yoga 4 or 5 times a week, but often I'd only get there once or twice. If I didn't get to yoga in a week, I would feel tense and tight and I had to go. That is, other than that, like I admit I was quite sedentary, and I was quite, I needed to walk more places. I needed to do, you know, much more yoga at home, things like that. Anyway, I decided at the top that the only thing that would get me out of bed was an appointment with someone else. I was so in danger of lying in bed till lunchtime, just sleeping and then on my phone, then getting up and feeling really grotty. And I know that exercise in the morning gives me a sort of vigor for the day. And it would get me dressed. I would have to get dressed, and someone's there and I've paid for it and there's nothing else I can do. So I can't rudely leave somebody there. I did one day, I slept through it. But I also wanted to support people I knew. Both of the people I'm working with are both feminists, and I wanted to support them because their whole business model had gone out the window because they were used to being in rooms with people over Zoom.
Yeah.
So I've built it up to 2 hours. It's 2 hours a day. Now this week is the first week it's fully 2 hours a day. It's been like 1 hour, 2 hours, 1 hour, 2 hours, and I've built it up. Started with 1 hour a day, but it's really helping me to find a new fitness level and a new way of thinking about my body. My goal, Jen, this year was to get more into my body, because partly on stage I always feel like I know myself here, but I wanted my jokes to go into my hips.
Okay, I know what you mean.
I feel like I was coming out a bit like I didn't feel completely full of myself. And I feel for feminism, I need arms that I want. Like sometimes when I'm doing a plank, I imagine I'm pushing the patriarchy away. Or I imagine I'm pushing away COVID. And honestly, I can plank for so much longer if I feel like I'm pushing against something.
Yeah. I think exercise is so good for your mental health if you can. I mean, if it's possible, if even if it's just running around the block, I'm really
dancing,
lucky.
Just putting your tunes up and dancing around the house,
whatever you can. It was really hard when you got small children, and anyone that's watching this will know it's trickier. But if your partner can let you just bugger off into your bedrooms, so you can dance for half an hour or whatever, mm-hmm. it just makes all the difference. And now since I've been starting doing exercise every day, it has made such a difference. And also because I was starting to feel like just like a blob, you know.
Yeah, and yeah, getting, just that I don't want to feel set. I feel like I need, if I'm a feminist in quarantine, how my concern sometimes with feminism is a grasp for control. It's a demand for more control over our bodies, more control over our representation, legislation, and we've lost control over basic things like how often we can leave the house, whether or not we can hug our relatives and loved ones. We've lost control of so much that we had control over. So for me, it's something I can take control over is I get up in the morning. Someone's asked why 2 hours. And honestly, the 2 hours is because I'm doing 1 hour of dance and then some days 1 hour of personal training, which is kind of more weights and cardio and stuff. And then I like to do yoga. So I'm not doing 2 hours back to back of the same thing. I'm doing an hour of dance and an hour of personal training, or an hour of dance and an hour of yoga. And dance is sort of helping me get into my body and it's helping me learn something. I have to learn choreography and stuff. So I feel like it's doing something for me that that regular PT isn't doing. So that is why. It's not because I'm getting obsessive. It's genuinely also that all of that normal, just walking down the street, going into a meeting. Hello. Oh, it's up three flights of stairs. All of that's gone. Yeah. I'm not moving that's at gone. All other than that. So yeah. I'm trying to kind of also just every hour, just get up and wriggle about a bit to facsimile walking to the tube.
Do you find, or have you found, that you are having absolutely batshit dreams?
Weird dreams, yes, stress dreams. What are your dreams like?
They are like a novel. They're like, I wake up every morning, I'm like, oh my God, I packed a lot in there. There's a lot going on. I mean, I like literally 10 or 15 minutes after I've woken up, I've completely forgotten everything, but they are very in-depth, you know, really heavy duty storylines, lots of anxiety in there. There's always something happening where I'm having an absolutely horrific time and I'm always delighted to wake up.
Not of anxiety.
I said to my girlfriend, I said, are you having any of these anxiety dreams? She was like, nope.
I think it's because all of the many images we would see in a day, just, you know, you would come on a train into London to do a gig, or you would, you know, and you see the platform and the people on the carriage and what's out the window and then what's on your phone, and then you jump out the other side and then you see a bump into a friend, and all of that imagery, all of that's gone, and now you're seeing the same four walls and the same three people, so I think your brain then at night is trying to make up for that by drawing on its reserve of memory of imagery and narrative. That's what I think's happening.
Well, I wish it would stop. I would love a night of absolutely just blank nothingness. That would be,
impossible because of REM sleep. You have to dream, but it would be nice to have just more boring, normal dreams. Like, you know, just, you know, bits of the day mixed around. Can't remember it. Yeah,
you get on a bike. There's, you know, it's got like, I don't know, bananas for wheels, that sort of thing. But this is in-depth, like, it's just I can't deal with it.
Yeah, you don't want it to be the full plot of Designated Survivor season three.
It's like a David Lynch film every night. I'm like, I can't, it's too much.
But that's exactly what it is. It's a full David Lynch film. Speaking of full David Lynch films, anything you've been watching, reading that you can recommend to us while in quarantine? Anything we should be, could be pure escapism, could be feminist, could be glorious, could be trash.
Right. I'm in the middle of a Kate Atkinson book, which I'm enjoying. It's very sort of light reading, and it's very fun. And it's one of the Jackson Brodie novels. And it's I'm reading it because it's very, because I love her writing and because it's very easy to read and it's pure escapism and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I think there's in that series of books, there's four and I'm reading the latest one. I never remember the name of anything. But the book that I listened to an audio book recently, I like literally just finished it about 2 days ago, is Malcolm Gladwell's Talking to Strangers.
I love a Gladwell.
Absolutely loved it. And if you have Audible and you've got a spare credit going, I can just get that. Just do yourself a favor and get it, because he has created an audiobook. If you love his podcast, Revisionist History, which I really, really love his podcasts. He's basically made this book into an extended podcast. So when he's talking about somebody else, you'll hear them talking, or when, do you know what I mean? So it's obviously it is his book, but any time you know, there's someone talking in the first person, then that person is talking.
Amazing. Can you please make a story of that and at the Guilty Feminist, and we'll share it to all the New Normal listeners?
Yes, it's brilliant. And and it's totally made me think very differently about so many things. It's been fantastic.
Amazing. Have you had a dark thought or a low moment you wouldn't mind sharing? A sort of desperate moment. The only reason I ask this every day is it's everyone's favourite question. Not the answer is the audience's. And it's because people are live streaming their funny moments in cowboy hats doing line dancing routines, but nobody is live streaming their sad moments. And so it makes people feel like I am the only one having sad moments.
No, you're not. I have them every day. I had yesterday. It was a super low day for me. I'm just trying to think. I mean, like, my anxiety is like that. Woohoo! I suppose anything from, will this be one of a bazillion pandemics that we are unable to contain? Will we find that we are no longer, you know, that this virus mutates and, you know, before you know it, we're all flipping dead.
Would you very much like to go back to being low-level irritated at your amazing life? Because I would. You know those, you know where, you know how we used to sort of go, oh, why isn't this happening for me? Or why isn't this happening for me? Or, and we just didn't know. I used to say it all the time. I used to say we're living through an incredible blip in history of lack of this kind of incident and geography, to be fair.
No,
I mean, there's been amazing wars and famine. In the West, we haven't had a war or a famine or a pestilence like this that affects everybody in our lifetime, since the Second World War. Do you ever God, if I could go back tomorrow and this, well, I'd appreciate it a lot more.
Oh, of course. Yes. Yes, I would. I would appreciate a lot of things a lot more. But I think, you know, I try to, I mean, like, it's really hard. I find the whole thing of that this many people are dying, I just can't get my head around it. I find it both numbing and terrifying, and often, you know, I try not to think about it, and then when I do think about it, I have a cry. It's overwhelming, really. And I think it's a tricky one, isn't it? It's a tricky one because you want to, on the one hand, you want to try and be positive, and you want other people to feel positive, you know, especially people that are really struggling with their mental health. But on the other hand, it's very difficult always to stay on top of that, you know, and try to feel positive when, you know, there's people, you know, I think about people in refugee camps who can't isolate. And I think about, you know, women trapped in homes with partners that beat the shit out of them, or children trapped with their abusers, or, you know, all that sort of stuff goes around in a loop in my head. And then someone says, but there's fish in the river in Venice. And I think,
That might bring us on to, do you have a piece of online feminism we can help you with today? Get behind something. And we'll make a story about this as well with a swipe up so people can find it. Is there anything you'd like us to amplify, donate to, sign, get behind? What is it that you would like help with in terms of activism?
Well, I do work for this. Okay, so I'm trying to support this refugee charity in Brighton, which is, I think is called, honestly, I feel like I might have had a stroke. I will find out the name of the charity. It's something like 4 for 400 or something. One, basically 4 for 4K. And it's basically donate £4 a month to help house somebody who is street homeless in Brighton. And they are all refugees.
Didn't we have them on the live show when we came to Brighton?
Yes.
They were one of our guests on the live show in Brighton. So if you make a story about that, and if we can, if everybody who watches this could have a look and either donate some money, or if you feel like really stretched and terrified at the moment, that's fine. Amplify.
You don't have to. No pressure.
Share. But lots of people have got loads of expendable income at the moment because they can't go to the pub. They can't got nothing to spend it on, and they've still got their full-time jobs. They're just working from home. So if you don't have the money to commit to that, that's okay. You, by sharing it, it may be that you're able to get 10 people. Ask people you know who have jobs. Someone's putting 1,000 for 1,000.
1,000 for 1,000. Is that it? Thank you.
£1,000 for £1,000.
Yes. Thank you, Becky. Thank you very much, Becky. Yes, 1,000 for 1,000. So they are a brilliant charity. They're doing fantastic work, and they're getting people into homes where they have a permanent place they can live. You know, they're refugees. We should be trying to help them. So that would be amazing. Thank you.
And do you hope humanity learns anything from this?
I would hope that we, particularly in this country, we cherish the NHS, that we vote for a government that gives a fuck about people, that we realise that capitalism is a lie and that neoliberalism only serves a very small percentage of people, that billionaires shouldn't exist, that if you have money in an offshore account, you shouldn't be able to get bailed out by the government. And I think we should all just learn that collectivism is a wonderful thing. We should look out for one another.
Amazing. What a great answer. Do you think this is going to change society in terms of intimacy, touch, sex, romance? Is it rebooting all of that stuff for us? Do you think that it's going to change? Are we going to come out of this into the roaring 20s where it's going to be, you know, parties and people hooking up all over the shop? Or are we going to be a little bit more like, oh, I'm going to rethink how I do this, or a combination?
Yeah, I have thought about that. And I was talking to my brother about this the other day, and I said, I reckon it's going to get pretty hedonistic when the things go down. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, but it's going to be one of two ways. It's going to be people being quite hedonistic because they... in a way where they're like, fuck it, if I die tomorrow, I can't live like this anymore, sort of way. Or it's going to be people are like, it's going to be very difficult for people to get out of the habit of having that social distancing. So it could go either way. I mean, from conversations I've had with friends, they're like, we're having a party, we're getting a shitload of MDMA, and you're coming round. Yeah. And I'm like, I've never heard you mention drugs ever.
Wow. Yeah. That's a pressure cooker, isn't it? Are there any things that you think, habits that will change because of this? Like, will you continue to cut your own hair? Will you request Zoom calls over schlepping into London for a meeting? Is there any habits that you'll like to keep?
Well, I really hope some podcasts will be able to be recorded remotely, because I would love that. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Some already were. The Bugle's recorded remotely, because it used to be Andy Zaltzman and John Oliver recording in different countries. So we could still do that. Not the Guilty Feminist, because we do it from a live audience.
Not the Guilty Feminist. No, nothing in front of an audience.
To a theatre. But yeah, I think that's a great idea.
I would love that. I don't know. Oh, God, my glasses. I'm not sure, really. I guess... I can't imagine me indulging in Zoom calls beyond this.
You think
I'm not very.
Calls out for you. You can't wait to get back in rooms.
I just want to be in a room with my friends. I want to give them a hug. I want to get drunk with them, and I want to, you know, see the people I care about.
Will you be homeschooling your children from now on?
Get to fuck, Deborah. Will I?
And finally. What will you do if they said quarantine's over right now? What's the first thing you're going to do?
If quarantine ended, I would. My mum lives very close by. I'd go around and give her a hug.
It's such a nice answer. And you know, funnily enough, Phoebe Waterbridge just said the same thing. So many people said hug them up. And the thing is, it's so interesting to me that so many people before this. I'm not saying you or Phoebe, but so many people before this would be like, oh, my mum's texted again or whatever. And now there's somebody suggested Get to Fuck Deborah is the t-shirt. The t-shirt is not, and I cannot be too clear about this, Get to Fuck Deborah. Thank you. But I think it's made us all appreciate our, you know, our mums and our sisters and our, you know, whoever else is best friends or whoever else we still have in our lives. And is there anything else you want to recommend to us? Tell us about things you're doing, podcasts you're doing, books that you wrote that you would like us to look at.
Well, I just so happen to have a book here.
What? That you wrote? Tell me more.
Yeah, you're not going to believe this. Oh, I mean, obviously, just imagine it's written the right way round. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this mm-hmm. is still available. You can buy it. It's hilarious.
It's called The Other Mother.
And it's called The Other Mother. Sorry.
It's about a two-mum relationship.
John Brister. There we go.
Jen Brister. Thank you very much. The Other Mother. Very funny book. Get it from Jen Brister right now. We actually buy it.
You can.
Ideally, we'll make a story of that with Blackwell's. Swipe up so you can order, because I'm trying to get people to order from places that aren't Bezos and people that pay their tax.
Pay their taxes, exactly.
Someone says, comedy first though, Debs. Any tuppence is safe in my hands still wins. Okay, fair enough. I think any tuppence is safe in my hands is good. But Fully Feral, I think it would sell well
as a t-shirt. Fully Feral with a t-shirt. Well. No one's going to wear a t-shirt that says any tuppence is safe in my hands.
You really don't know our listeners, do you? You really, really don't know our listeners. 100% there are people that would buy that t-shirt. It would say any tuppence is safe in my hands. And then it says ex Jen Brister. And it also says stay at home in the new normal on it. So in a very real way, you know, Fully Feral, people are
voting for Fully Feral.
They're voting for Fully Feral. I do think that probably be the most popular one.
Okay,
It's quite a good one. Jen, it has been a delight to talk to you.
Deborah, it's been really nice to see your face.
Hasn't it been lovely to catch
it's
up?
Lovely to see your face. Yeah, it has, really has.
It's been so nice. Also this week we have Yasmin Yasmin Abdelmajid, Scarlett Curtis, Jamie Windust, and somebody else who is as yet unannounced, but it's going to be awesome. Check out the lineup for the dates, but at 6 p.m. every day, Monday to Friday, the new normal right here. And the Phoebe Waller-Bridge new normal will be out very soon, maybe next Monday, as a Guilty Feminist podcast. Check that out Monday at noon. I believe. You have been a delight, Jen Brister. I can't wait to gig with you again and to be on stage with you again and to be able to do that.
Have a cuddle. Have a wine.
Have a wine. Yeah. I might go and have a wine right now. It's 5 to 7. I never used to be a nightly drinker, but now a vodka soda at 7 is absolutely part of what makes my quarantine possible.
100%. We've got to do what we can to get through this madness.
Love you lots.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.